Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world? I would like to welcome you back to the Real Talk with Zuby podcast. Now, on today's episode, we have got on a very brave lady. As soon as I saw her story and saw a video of her going around on social media, I thought, I want to talk to that woman. I like her. I want to speak to her. This is the owner of Cinema & Co., which is a cinema in Swansea, Wales, in the UK. And this is Anna Redfern. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you here. So, Anna, for people who are not familiar with you and what you do, please tell them a little bit about you.
Okay. So, yes, I've had Cinema & Co. for 5 years. A student on his gap year set it up, and it was only supposed to be a pop-up cinema, but it proved so successful that he wanted it to continue when he went back to university. So I met up with him to see about getting funding to keep it going, because that's what I was doing at the moment, as well as being a stay-at-home mum. So I met up with him, and I was so inspired by the place. It was like he had made it just for me. It encapsulates all my skills and my experience, and it's a real vehicle for all my ideas. So I feel very privileged to have that. And also, I'm very much an opportunist. So I've always drifted around, not really knowing what to do with myself. And I feel so lucky to have the cinema. So that's the story of that.
That's awesome. And up until this point, did you ever have any problems with it or any issues, anything like that? Or was it all smooth sailing up until this point?
Well, it was going from strength to strength. I'd finally got to a point in my business where I could leave it for 10 days and go on a choral singing holiday to Morocco. And that's when we went into lockdown. And so I came back from Morocco to a lockdown UK. And I had to close the cinema immediately. And ironically, the first screening we cancelled was 1984.
what was the timeline at this point?
So this was March 2020.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I must admit, 2020 was the best year of my life. You know, for the first time, I really felt present in the moment, because of course running your own business, you've always got loads of things going around in your head. Even when you're on holiday, you're still thinking of what's going on. And and the weather was absolutely glorious. I rediscovered Swansea, what we've got on our doorstep, the beautiful beach within walking distance, and spending such time with my children as well. And it was incredible, and it was really nice to have an empty brain, so to speak. So but then of course they kept moving the goalposts. We were allowed to reopen just before Christmas, and we did that. I employed some new staff, And yeah, the day, their first day, Mark Drakeford announced that cinemas were going to have to close from a week that day. So, so yeah, I had to give loads of refunds away because I'd spent lots of time and energy putting money into our Christmas program, and yeah, it was awful. It was a really sad time and frustrating time as well. And yeah, of course, I had to throw loads of stock away, and it had an effect on the staff as well. So yes, it was a tough time to go through all that effort to reopening, and then after our second screening, since lockdown, we had to close again. So yes, yeah, cinemas have really had a tough time of it, and of course, the film industry suffered as well, because that all ground to a halt. So, and of course, people have been stuck indoors for 18 months now with nothing better to do than watch films. And so like Netflix and Amazon, you know, we were kind of competing with them before we went into lockdown. But I'm concentrating on the cinema side here. You know, Cinema & Co. is not just a cinema. It's a bar. It's a live music venue. We do lots of private hires, lots of kids parties. You know, they're not headache inducing like the soft play children's parties are. But yes, it's written into our values to welcome people from all walks of life so they can access their right to culture. So, so yes, that's what keeps us going until what's happened recently, I suppose.
Are you surprised by how those values and principles, such as non-discrimination and wanting to be welcoming to everybody, truly to everybody, have you been shocked by how quickly and aggressively that has become a controversial position?
I know, I can't quite believe it. I'm being accused of the very thing I'm standing up against. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's like ever since politics has got involved, I suppose, I feel like I'm being judged by other people's political beliefs, when all I've seen are human beings. Like when I first made my stance, and yes, the council swooped down when we weren't even open. I wasn't even there. They scared all my staff off. So it is just me. I've had to recruit volunteers instantly to try and help run the business. Yeah, everyone swooped because I guess they all share the same common goal, that we want our freedom of choice back. But yes, and it just seems that we have to forget the politics that divide us. You know, all I saw were other human beings being kind and supportive to me. And I, you know, I accepted that help because I was desperate. And, you know, that's something I've learned from my mum. So she announced the second time we were allowed to reopen that she hadn't been completely honest with me, and that she had got breast cancer and hadn't told anyone for 3 years, and it had grown exponentially during lockdown. And but she was too scared to ask for help, because of course lockdown was causing us all so much grief. And she didn't want to burden anyone. And I guess that's a lesson I've learned from her mistake, is to accept help when it's offered, and to don't be afraid to ask for help either. She's also a death doula, so she's not scared of dying. This is to quote her, actually, that the pharmaceutical companies have struck marketing gold, tapping into everyone's fear of death. And to me, that seems the only culture that the government invested in, and that is one of fear. So,
absolutely. So talk us through a little bit more of the timeline. So we got up to January, where you were allowed to allowed. I hate even using that term. Yeah. Upsets me. Where you reopen for a week, and then there was the shutdown again, and that's when the UK went into another long period of lockdown. So when was it that the cinema reopened again?
So the 1st of June, which was my mum's 71st birthday. Okay. As well. So at the time I was living with her as a full-time carer because she can only get up to eat and drink and go to the toilet and stuff. And of course, you know, it was a 24-hour and trying to open the cinema in regards to that. But prior to her announcement, I guess I was just excited by the fact that I was allowed to reopen. So so I did, with all this stuff with my mum going on. And I must admit the cinema has been a real place of solace in that regard. You know, I was completely able to escape from what was going on. But we opened and, you know, we were selling one or two pallets per film. All our seats are made out of pallets, that's why. Okay. we were really struggling. We've just been making a loss from that point because, like I touched on earlier, about what you program, what films people are all sick of because they've been stuck indoors. Mm. That was a really tough time.
And then, so when you first reopened, there weren't any restrictions at that point. Were you allowed to fully reopen, or what were the rules in place? Because I know it's slightly different. So there's stuff overall in the UK, but I know that England, Scotland, and Wales all have their own, they all have their own different rules now.
Oh my God. How can anyone keep up? It's ridiculous. So the fact that I'm a multifaceted business has made it incredibly difficult to follow the rules, but you know, they're still presented as guidance, but they're made out that they're rules when it's not the case at all. Like for the hospitality industry, it's 63 pages long, and the detail they go into is incredible. Like if you've got a staff room and with a sofa in it, swap it for two seats so they can be 2 meters apart. But they're bordering on insanity. They really are. And you know, as a small business, how do you have the resources to implement all these things? And also another, and it's so hypocritical. So they encourage you to use all disposables. You have to clean 5 times as much as you would usually, yet the environment is high up on their agenda now. It's just but these rules, and of course the public don't get to read these guidance. Mm-hmm. But they're so bewildering and discriminatory as well. So hypocritical, nonsensical, loads of words come to mind. But it's been a real struggle. So I guess I was sort of quiet about opening, I suppose, but always operating that freedom of choice for people. So, mm-hmm. you know, if they want to wear a mask, they can wear a mask. If they don't feel safe about coming in, then they stay at home, you know. Mm-hmm. It just feels like the government have taken that control from us. You know, we should be making these decisions for ourselves. And it's crazy. My life is so surreal at the moment.
Yeah, it's very weird. Throughout the entire world, every city, every country, pretty much with a handful of exceptions, people are going through just different stages of weirdness and surrealism. And people have been affected by this thing in so many different ways. And I really wanted to talk to you and have you share your story here, because there are also certain, you know, I mean, there are millions of individuals and there are whole industries and sectors where they haven't even been considered, right? Mm-hmm. So an independent cinema owner, right? Who's thinking about that person? Who's looking out for them? Live music venues. I'm a musician. I haven't done a gig in 2 years. Mm. Right? Who's looking out for, touring musicians or people who work on cruise ships or comedians, so on and so forth. Not everyone can just sit at home and be on Zoom and make their living sitting in their living room, right? That doesn't apply to everybody. And it seems like so many people have slipped through the net and just not been considered. And so many people who are in very comfortable positions, especially in politics and the media, I can't help but note none of those people have taken a single hit to their paycheck over this entire time in any country.
And also, like you said about musicians, they really have had a tough time with it because they often supplement their talents with a job in the hospitality industry. Mm-hmm. You know, the hospitality industry has really suffered from a staffing perspective more than anything else. Like before lockdown, I'd get 60 applicants for one job, where pre-lockdown I'd get four. Or five. Mm. It seems like it's an employee's market in that regard as well. But yeah, like you said, with I feel like I'm giving these people a voice. So the number of private messages I get, I'm getting them in their thousands from all over the world, you know, saying that I've given them hope, that I've got a positive story to tell my children. And yeah, it's all been very humbling. And I must admit, I was very overwhelmed in the beginning. I wasn't sleeping particularly well. Yeah, still getting cold sores and things like that. But yeah, reading those messages is what gives me the strength to go on with this stance. But it's just really sad that the politics of it is creating such division and turning it into a fight when it should be a peaceful stand. So
absolutely. So can you explain what your stance is? So for people who are not familiar with the story, and they, you know, I've got listeners all over the world, actually primarily in the USA. But can you explain to everybody what the stance that you've taken is? You've touched on it briefly, but what is the situation in Wales and in Swansea, and what has been your stance that's got you in inverted commas trouble with the authorities and has led to these media pieces on you and so on?
I guess my public refusal to implement the COVID passport scheme, because it's a total infringement of our rights. You know, I've got a right to earn a living. People have a right to access culture. But more importantly, they have a right to bodily autonomy, you know. And we shouldn't be coerced, incentivized into getting these things just because the government says. And I guess we're just advocates of freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to come to the cinema, then and you want to wear a mask, that's your choice. If you don't feel safe, then don't come. Mm-hmm. It's also people forget that responsibilities also come with your rights as well. So of course we trust our customers to stay at home. If they're not feeling very well, then they're not going to come to the cinema. So yes, it's the freedom of choice. That's our big stance, I suppose.
So essentially your stance is what everybody's stance was back in January 2020.
Yes, exactly.
At least according to what they claim. This is the craziest thing about all this to me, Anna, is that it's simply that other people have changed and some people have not. Right. So all you are doing, all you are saying, everything you're advocating for, this whole stance you're taking, this is just how you've operated the whole time that the cinema has been opening. All of these businesses, restaurants, cinemas, music venues, businesses, workplaces, whatever. This is just the simple stance that everyone, certainly in the so-called modern liberal Western world, this is what everyone used to always say that they stood for, you know, treat people fairly and equally, respect people's choices, respect people's right to privacy, don't discriminate, don't segregate, so on and so forth. I mean, if you were to say this back in 2019, it would even sound a little bit trite because it's so obvious. And all of a sudden by doing this, this now makes you some kind of outlaw. Yeah. And you know, a figure, which, as you're saying, you're getting messages from thousands of people around the world admiring you for your courage and your bravery. And, you know, I get these type of messages as well. And on one hand, I'm flattered and I'm like, thank you. But I'm also like, I'm just doing and saying what, like, this has always been my position. I just haven't gotten wrapped into this whole, you know, illusion of safety at all costs, even if it means throwing everything we know about equality and discrimination and general human decency and civil liberties and rights, even if it means throwing all that out the window, we have to make everyone, you know, make people feel safe kind of thing. And it's not, I don't know, it's such a strange time. I keep feeling like, okay, this is like a really long dream and I'm going to wake up at some point and be like, okay, no, okay, that was like a real far-fetched.
Yeah.
Honestly, it really does. It really does.
We have done a strand of cinema and sci-fi question mark, and so we put like the Matrix on, and 12 Monkeys. So yes, that's. But yeah, it is. It's incredible what's going on. But I finally feel for the first time that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Good.
That because, you know, up until this point, you know, I've been having the worst year of my life. I'm not going to lie.
No.
Yeah, for the first time, it looks like we've got something to look forward to. And I haven't felt like that for quite some time. And I really believe that people have lost faith. They've lost faith in their own bodies. They've lost faith in nature. And yeah, and sorry, I'm going off on tangents here.
That's okay, it's okay.
Like the government's never promoted health and well-being as an answer to this. Surely being fit and healthy is much better for you than having to have these experimental jabs every 2 or 3 months. So, that saddens me as well. You know, I have got faith in my own immune system, and the fact that we have to discuss this, you know, you have to wear your vaccination status, it's like a badge.
Yep.
Well, if a doctor shared your medical records, he'd get struck off or he'd get fined. You know, that right to privacy is just being annihilated. It really is.
Mm.
It's none of our business, is it?
It's not. And what's weird about it is that the only thing new is the response. Viruses aren't new. Diseases aren't new. People transmitting infections to each other aren't new. Death itself is not new. Vaccines are not new. None of this stuff is new. But what is new is this, dare I call it a culture, certainly a cult, maybe even a culture that's been established around this one virus, not even the biggest killer out there, far from it. But this one thing has created a whole industry, and it's fragmented society, and it's fragmenting societies and families and communities and even friendship groups. Mm-hmm. And all of this is just, it's bizarre to me. On one hand, as disheartening as it is, I think everyone has played their hand, right? Everyone has played their hand. So people have really revealed themselves over the past 2 years, right? Some people who we previously didn't know, you know, I didn't know Anna Redfern was a hero and a strongly principled warrior for liberty prior to this time. But when push comes to shove and when stuff hits the fan, you see who's a coward. You see who's bold. You see who's got principles. You see who doesn't. You see who's a hypocrite. You see who is willing to just go along with whatever. And you also see who's willing to turn on people like that, who perhaps you thought that, oh, I thought this person was my friend or was someone.
Yeah.
And people have just turned on each other like that. So as disturbing as that is, I think it's also exposed a lot of truth. And I think it's also helped to, in one hand, it's fragmented people, but I think it's also unified people from all these different geographical areas and sectors and all these different worlds who are just willing to go, wait, hang on. What's going on here? Let's ask questions. Let's have a conversation. Yeah, let's not just throw these names and labels and aggression and hostility towards everybody who is asking questions or who has a little bit of a different opinion on this thing. Because all we're standing for is liberty. You're supporting everyone's rights. We're not sitting here saying, oh, everyone must do this or must do that or you should do this. It's just like, no, like you do what makes most sense for you and what's right for your health and your body and your circumstances. You know that better than I do. I mean, I can't, The notion that one person or a couple of people can dictate to a nation of 65 million people or a nation of 330 million people with the USA and say, this is the thing everybody must do. And yeah. It's equally the same for all of you. I mean, it's crazy. Human bodies are so complex. And I think this is part of the reason why people who are genuinely into health, I found that a lot of people who are truly into health and exercise and nutrition and all of that, and have been for a long time, tend to be some of the people who are most likely to be a little bit questioning and skeptical and going, wait, hang on here. If this is about health, then what about this? What about that? You have all of these questions here because they keep saying health, 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 safety, safety, safety. And you're like, well, you haven't addressed some pretty big elephants in the room here. So why not?
There's absolutely no money to be made in looking after ourselves.
I know.
Is there, you know? But, and also the label thing really gets me as well. So I'm an anti-vaxxer because I'm standing up for human rights, you know? Yes. I'm pro-choice. That's all I am. If you want to have the vaccine, then that's your choice. That's all I'm advocating, you know?
You're not trying to ban vaccinated people from your cinema. Right? Like, that's not a position, right? No. Like, this is the thing. Like, that's not a thing that exists, but it exists the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're just saying no, like, everybody is welcome. Also, here's another thing that's so crazy to me is that logically and even scientifically, it makes no sense, right? If you think that, you know, like, I don't care if someone takes this particular shot or not, or any other shot, flu shot, whatever. I don't care. And it makes no sense for me to care either, because if they work and do what they're supposed to, then why would you be concerned about whether or not somebody else has? It doesn't make sense. You're undermining your own position. If you're someone who's very pro-vax, the best thing you can do is get your shots and go out and live normally. Don't live in fear. Don't be acting all weird. And then other people will be like, okay, cool. Like, this person is confident. This person is confident that it works. If you've had two shots or three shots or even four shots and you're still living like a hermit, or you're terrified of this, or then people are looking at that like, well, hang on, that doesn't make sense. You know, I've had a measles shot, right? So I'm not afraid of getting measles because even if someone had it, I'd be like, oh, well, I'm immunized against that. So I'm okay, right?
But also all these systems of control are totally open to abuse as well. You know, like when you travel, all these tests. And if you just stop testing, we'd be none the wiser.
Exactly.
You know, and you have to do these tests in order to access your rights. I mean,
but Omicron.
Oh, the
As soon as people start calming down, they're just like, "All right, it's time. Unleash the new variant. Unleash the new one. Give it a name. Boom, Omicron. Now it was Delta for the past, I don't know, 6 months. Now it's like, oh, Omicron, and now it's like even in the UK, in the Boris." Okay, everyone, put your masks back on. And you're just like, this is unbelievable. And if you see the video from the doctor in South Africa who discovered it, she's literally like, okay, the symptoms are very mild. We haven't seen any. It seems to be milder. Seems to be milder than the previous ones. You know, and then in the USA and all over Europe, whatever, people are reacting and responding, putting in new policies. And you're just like, this is the greatest level of insanity I've ever witnessed. I have a question, Anna. Why do you think that you are? Why do you think you're the way you are? Because the position you're taking is unique. I don't know if there are other business owners in your area who are doing a similar thing. That's one question. But question number two: what do you think it is about you that made you go, you know what, I'm going to take a stand here?
I think it's because it's nothing to do with these restrictions have ever really sat right with me. You know, I'm quite an intuitive person, and especially all the stuff that's been going on with Mum. You know, she's her quality of life is awful, and she was also scared to get the NHS involved. She's been to see a GP for 15 years. She was scared of being coerced into getting a treatment that she didn't want. Mm-hmm. And to see my mum, who's so strong and independent, and she's like everybody's counsel, I suppose. People would come and sit at a table at jazz night and offload their problems. Because she's was a single mum when we first came to Swansea as a student. It's definitely all down to her. She's instilled good principles in me, and also being a mum, a single mum myself, I just couldn't bear for my kids to not have the same freedoms that I've had, you know. And I'm doing it for my mum. And I had a message from a friend of hers, actually, Hillary, who lives in Texas. And she inquired as to her health, because they write every day. And she said in her message that she wished me well, and that mum's done such a good job of bringing me up, and that she's so proud that I've stood up for my principles. So it's as a mum and a daughter, I suppose, and as a human being, that's why I've made this stance.
Absolutely, and I respect that. Why do you think it is that more parents in particular haven't done the same? I mean, that's perhaps for me, the thing that's been most disheartening to watch is the way that children have been viewed and treated throughout this whole thing, from pulling them out of schools for a year to forcing them on masks and being in these awkward social distancing scenarios and whatever. And none of this can be justified under the basis that you're trying to keep the children safe. That's the most reprehensible part of it to me, right? Mm-hmm. It's because adults are being cowards and are being neurotic. And so you're punishing the children, even with this rollout that they're doing now, trying to jab up all the children. Like, thank God, from the beginning of this whole thing, one demographic that we have known is not at serious risk from this virus is children.
Yeah.
We know that across the entire world, this thing has never been a major threat to children. And still, your people are doing all this stuff because adults are scared, the grown-ups are scared, and so we're going to make the kids do this, and we're going to make them do that and that. And to me, that's been the most vile and reprehensible part of all of it. I'm not a parent myself yet, but I've been so disappointed by the fact that more parents haven't been willing to stand up and, you know, if they're not going to protect and defend themselves, at least protect and defend your children. I think there's no greater inheritance. You alluded to this earlier. I don't think there's no greater inheritance you can give to your kids, or at least this should. No, let me rephrase that. I think the most basic inheritance you should give to your kids is for them to have the same rights and liberties that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The notion that, like, I'm already thinking about kids I don't even have yet. And I'm like, man, I want those kids to have at least the same level of basic right human rights and civil liberties as I did. I don't want them to be in a situation where they can be, you know, they're owned by the government, or they can't move around or see their friends or family without having to have medical procedures, or they're not just allowed to just live normally and pursue a normal, happy life without all types of coercion and bullying and shaming and force and oversight and surveillance. To me, that's just like a basic minimum. But a lot of people don't seem to be thinking that, or perhaps they think this is all very temporary. And once they give up all these rights, things will magically go back to normal. And their kids won't be affected by it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's... I'm just so lucky that my boys aren't over 12, because then they'd be able to give their own consent to have the jab. Again, it should be, it's down
to... I don't even understand how that works. I mean...
Well, this is the hypocrisy of it.
It doesn't make sense.
So I'm not allowed to go and watch my son's sports day. but you can go and watch a rugby game with 25,000 people in a packed stadium. It's the hypocrisy is unreal, and the education guidance as well. That's under the guise of law, but it's actually guidance, and the discrimination in there is incredible as well. So if you've been vaccinated and you have a negative test, then you don't have to self-isolate for 10 days. If you haven't been vaccinated and you get a negative test, you do have to self-isolate for 10 days. So there's even discrimination in the education guidance as well. But yeah, I really feel for our children, because it seems like there's going to be a whole generation of people not willing to take risks because they're too scared. You know, everything is a risk in life. Crossing the road is a risk in life. We don't know the long-term effects of mobile phones, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, these are all risks that we should be responsible for making those decisions as to whether we take them or not, not the government. And that really concerns me about, the future generations.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the stance you've taken, because I've seen you've had quite a bit of press and media attention, what's been the general response, both locally and then beyond that?
Well, overwhelmingly positive, okay. Without a doubt. So like on my way to school this morning, the bin men, they're like, oh, well done, and giving me a thumbs up. The people that drive past, they're beeping. I've got people who come into the cinema and say, I don't know if you have a faith, but my faith, and I'm praying for you. And it's been incredible, the support. But, you know, the majority of that does come privately, which does indicate the fear of people voicing their opinions in public, as what's happened to me is living proof, really. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the media take control of that. And that's, I'm not sure if you've noticed, I posted something about telling people to stop politicising my business and, accusing me of the very thing I'm standing up against. And to base your comments on fact and not assumption. And that's the problem with social media and the mainstream media as well. Mm-hmm. You know, they put a spin on it and they politicise my stance, and it's been weaponized against me. And it's insane. But yeah, generally it's positive. It really, really is. So
that's good. Yeah. I think people like labels because then they don't need to think. Right?
Yeah.
They don't need to think, and they don't need to get to know you. If they can just throw a label on Anna, who cares? You know, who cares if it's correct or not?
Yeah.
I have an assumption and prejudices and biases and conclusions about people who have this label, about this group. So if I can just throw that label on this person and apply it to all these people, I no longer need to actually deal and contend with the details of their arguments and the nuance of their positions. So this is something as doing what I do, this is something I've dealt with for many, many years, and I've seen it happen to other people. But it's just what they always will do. Anything that they deem a negative, you know, at the moment, the popular ones, of course, are conspiracy theorist, anti-vaxxer, far right, right?
Yeah.
And they'll try to just stick these on people with no evidence, with no carefulness, with no checking to see if this is actually the person's position. And it's very annoying. I think it's also very dangerous. And it's also just very dishonest. And one thing I really, really hate is dishonesty. I dislike it when people just are being disingenuous, especially when, I think it's even worse when it's the mainstream media, because, you know, unlike most people, I don't really hold them to some high standard, because they've disappointed me so much over the past many, many years. But it's like
on the scene, though.
That's yeah, true. But you know, if it's like one
for me half the time.
Yeah, you know, if it's in a random account with a random anonymous account with 30 followers, that's throwing these labels out. That's one thing. But when you're seeing supposedly reputable mainstream corporate media sources who have resources, and the best they can do is just throw this label on everybody, I'm just like, man, this is lame. I also, in a weird way, though, maybe what a lot of what I'm also seeing, though, is desperation on their part, right? Because the narrative is, I think they're losing control of the narrative. And so now they're having to sort of amp up and lash out in these ways, which are very obviously over exaggerated. Like they're very obviously disproportionate.
On you know, as well.
Yeah, exactly. Even when I, you know, that struck me when I saw a couple media stories about your business, and some of them were a bit more fair and balanced and impartial. But I'm also just like, look, you're trying to frame this one small independent cinema, and its independent owner. You're trying to. I'm like, you think you're the good guys here? Like you're not the good guy. You know, and when you're seeing all the, you know, the authorities wanting to clamp down on police and councils and whatever, it's like the optics here are not good. It's like when you look around Europe and you're seeing these videos of, you know, these jackbooted police, you know, in their uniforms going in and checking people's papers. I'm like, you don't look like the good guys there.
The effect this has had on the local community, because, you know, we've got people who have cancelled events and moved them elsewhere, like kids' parties. We do so many of those, and they've been cancelled as well. And each time the council have visited, I haven't even been here. You know, they've done it unlawfully and by fraudulent means. Mm. And like getting that letter from Mark Drakeford himself, he didn't sign it though, but he did take.
Can you explain to people? Sorry, can you explain to people who Mark Drakeford is?
Yeah, so he's the First Minister for Wales.
Okay.
So Wales has a devolved government. So he issued a closure notice that he sent to Swansea Council. And within half an hour of him sending it, they were there. And I had just left to go and visit my mum. And the staff were just getting the tables in from outside, and that's when they swooped. They've just used such bullying tactics throughout this. And this Mark Drakeford letter from the First Minister himself wasn't even signed. Mm-hmm. But they took the trouble of laminating it for us, which
lovely. use it as a coaster.
Yes, all the underhanded. Of it, you know, he's overridden a judge's decision there, and it's not a political thing, it's meant to be a civil matter. So the forces that be, they're just so intimidating.
Yes. Do you know what's the man, there's a lot of things that are crazy about this, but something that's really disgusting is that in the midst of all of this stuff, oftentimes I've noticed that people totally forget what all of these measures are supposed to be supposedly about, right? Which is protecting people from getting ill, sick, having disease, you know, hospitalization deaths. So that's supposedly what this is about, supposed to be about a virus, right? And then when you're talking about these situations, like what you're going through or some similar ordeals people have had, I'm like, do you really, I don't even believe that for a minute that the authorities themselves believe that, okay, this action is going to reduce the spread of transmission in Swansea. It's like, really, do you yourself actually believe that? I don't think you do. I've had situations where, I mean, when I was in Los Angeles, I was in a gym by myself. And the one staff member who was there was haranguing me about wearing a mask while I'm training. I'm the only person in the gym, a big gym too. I'm the only person. I'm there far away from him. And he's walking over there, you know, arguing with me about that I need to put a mask on while I'm exercising. And I've had lots of scenarios like this. I'm not going to go into all of them, but it's like you don't believe this is about a virus or stopping traffic. Like what you're doing and what you're saying, it doesn't even make sense, right? If that were the goal, it's just this authoritarianism and desire for people to flex power that they have. They're just like, what they're mad at is that you are not obeying, right? That's the anger. It's not that, that's all it is. It's not that, oh, this woman is
complying.
It's not that, oh, there's, you know, all everyone who's going to her cinema is getting sick, or she's not meeting certain hygiene standards, or that's not what it is. It's just that we don't like the fact that we told her what to do and she's defying it. So we're going to pull out our jackboots and we're going to just go hard on and crack down. It's just about punishment. It's the same even with these passports themselves, so-called passports. It's just about punishing people. It's just like, look, we just want to punish people who are not in line with the party narrative. It's not about, again, even scientifically and logically, we know with these shots, you can still get infected. You can still transmit. Got millions of cases of that. So it's not even, you can't even make the argument that that's about stopping transmission, right? If it were that, if you wanted to go that far, you'd have to say, okay, you have to have a negative test within X amount of time to come in here. That would be the logical thing. I don't support that, but that would be the thing you'd have to do. It wouldn't just be vax status. That's just simply to punish people who don't get in line.
Yeah, it's totally illogical. And I really think I've been targeted by the government and the council, so to try and make an example of me to scare other people into complying. So that's definitely what it's all about. They're trying to catch me on something that's really does not deserve to close down a business and prevent me from earning my right to provide for my family and also the community as well.
Yes.
You know, they lose out. See, we got a full program of Christmas films. So they're expecting them to not go because they're going to catch something that doesn't, exist. So.
And this is after shutting you down for a year.
Yeah.
This is after shutting you down for a year and you missing out for that entire period of doing, just earning your livelihood. You're a mother, you have children, you're a business owner. You just want to work. You're not trying to bother anyone, not trying to harm anyone. It's like, look, I just want to do my job. I just want to work. Leave me alone. And it's so frustrating because, again, so many of the people who have been championing all of these draconian policies and measures, they have profited from it. All these pundits on the media, all these TV people who are there saying, do this. It's like, you're all getting paid. You're all been getting paid throughout this whole thing. You have not missed a day. No. All of these politicians, you've been getting paid. In fact, you gave yourself raises, right? And then you're sitting there in this ivory tower calling everybody else selfish, calling everyone else all these names and whatever. And man, I don't know. I don't think evil can go unpunished, though. And I think what they've done is evil. So
it does feel like that, though, doesn't it?
It does
feel like good versus evil. Mm-hmm. And I've got the strength and the hope and the faith to keep fighting this. It's awful that it's had to turn into a fight. But that's what I'm willing to do, because I can't put up with this hypocrisy and infringement of our human rights for much longer. It really is.
It is. You mentioned earlier, though, that you see a light at the end of the tunnel. So what is it that you see there?
That good conquers evil, I suppose. That's the crux of it, really. But just being getting that control back, giving the power back to the people. You know, our government is supposed to work for us. We're supposed to be controlling them. Even though I don't like that word, but they're supposed to be doing what we tell them to do, not the other way around. So some form of normality where we have our freedom to choose and make decisions for ourselves again, rather than being told by the government what to do. So yes, that's the light at the end of the tunnel, that our children will get their freedoms back, which, you know, they're totally innocent in all of this. And good will win.
Absolutely. Anna, where is the best place for people to find and follow you online?
Instagram, I suppose, or Twitter or Facebook.
Okay, what's the handle?
It's Cinema Co Swansea on Instagram and Facebook, yes.
Awesome. I will put that in the description. Anna, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been great talking to you. Massive respect, and keep fighting.
Likewise. Take care. Bye. Bye. Sick with the slang, sick and I'm destined for fame. Do for the fam, not for the gram. Stunt, you're destined for pain. I do not front, I do not scam. Put some respect on my name. Sick like Cobain, click and I bang. Y'all gon' remember the name. Y'all gon' remember the name.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.